Our guest at the cafe this morning is Dr. Rick Selvaggi, family practitioner and gerontologist.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, Rick. And, gosh, so much in the news about this Ebola scare.
Well, it's a novel disease, particularly with the idea that it's occurring here in our own backyard. Yeah, and in that way, I think it's sensational. No one expected it to arrive this quickly, and yet it's here. I think that one reason it's interesting is because it's a new disease. It's first identified in 1976. We now know that there are five different Ebola strains, only four of which humans can become infected with. The symptoms of fever, diffuse aches and pains, not feeling well, abdominal cramping, nausea, vomiting, hemorrhagic processes where you bleed either under the skin or through your GI tract or nose, wherever, a hemorrhagic process. Those are the most common symptoms, mm-hmm. A high fever, of course, and headache. It's fairly deadly, particularly in Africa, where there's little health care and people don't have basic essentials such as gloves, masks, gowns. If a patient becomes infected, then it's very difficult for people to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to be more careful about who gets into the country? Do we need to be much more cautious about allowing people to come in from, whether it's Africa or anywhere else?
Now you've forgotten my credentials. I'm a medical doctor. I'm not
right.
A politician.
But from the medical point of view, then you don't have a particular point of view on that.
I'm not sure that we're going to be able to stop this one at the border, or even if we want to try. One of the reasons for that opinion is that the Ebola virus can be contained through basic hygienic measures. Mm-hmm. And this country is very good about doing that. The real political question is how can we help those who don't have the resources to contain it, to contain it.
We're talking with Dr. Rick Selvaggi of Commerce, a family practitioner. We're mainly sort of now looking at the Ebola scare. We had the case in Dallas that has attracted so much attention. Really, from what I've heard, it's pretty difficult to catch this disease. It's not like it's not airborne, and you have to have very close contact with a person before you can catch it.
Well, the fact of the matter is people with this virus are not coughing. They're not sneezing. So they're not putting the particles in the air. And the research on this disease is not well-founded yet. I mean, we're not sure what bodily secretions you usually find it in. We think it's probably in saliva. We know it's in blood. We know it's in semen. And so any bodily secretion, urine, sweat, everything needs to be considered contagious. So if somebody has Ebola, what we would do as medical professionals, we would put on a gown, a mask. We'd cover up any open areas, cuts in our skin, and protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Is this particular virus, and again, it seems to have caused a lot of anxiety, but is it worse? Is it more virulent than other diseases that we're maybe more familiar with?
Yes, it's more virulent than most viral infections that cause gastroenteritis in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly much worse than rotavirus. It's much more dangerous because if it's not treated, if you don't hydrate your patient, you don't control the bleeding, you'll lose a patient. But eventually your body's immune system will kick in and you recover from the viral infection, whether it's rotavirus or Ebola. So what's happening in Africa is simply it causes such a strain on the body physically from the dehydration and from the bleeding that people die.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the ultimate fear and the reason that what's in the back of people's mind is some kind of pandemic that sweeps the nation. And you go back to the 1918 flu pandemic that claimed millions of lives, and we've largely forgotten about that. But there it is in history. Something like that. Are we past that now? To where we think we are? Our technology has advanced that it's unlikely that something like that would happen again? Or should there be serious concern that if we're not very careful, something similar could happen again?
This virus, as it is not going to cause that in this country.
Mm.
We may have a few isolated cases, but I don't think that will occur here unless people stop washing their hands and we quit manufacturing gloves and masks. We're too careful. you have to be exposed to these secretions. And the only way to do that is to actually put your hands in it. You have to get it in your eyes, your mouth, open cut, something. And people who are sick are not going to do that. One thing that would help is when people are ill is instead of going to work or school, stay home until you're better.
Mm-hmm. How about some other virus? Occasionally when the flu season begins, we hear the fear expressed of a very, very strong strain of flu that hasn't been seen before, and that this 1918 flu is brought up again. So is that a legitimate concern?
I think that's more of a legitimate concern because that spread through the common air we breathe.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably much more contagious than Ebola virus. So for our culture and our communities, it's much more likely to spread.
I see, but still unlikely.
Unlikely to cause a pandemic from before. One reason we have some medication to treat the really sickest patients.
Uh-huh. And we have advanced, I'm sure, a long way since 1918 in that respect, right?
Yes.
Good. Rick, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Dr. Rick Salvaggi, family practitioner in commerce, and you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.